Welcome to Earth Unearthed. We are your hosts, Akash and Ruchir.
Earth Unearthed is a fortnightly podcast where we deconstruct themes from movies and TV shows to discuss the economics, politics, and science behind it.
In this episode, we sit down with Israr Hassan to discuss the Netflix movie Extraction, which came out earlier this year. We deconstruct a variety of things, starting from Edward Said's conception of Orientalism, yellow filtering in Hollywood movies, and then moving on to discuss private mercenaries and the case for drug legalization. This is the final and the third part of this episode. In this part, we talk about drug cartels and the empirical evidence on the economics of drug legalization.
Welcome to Dhaka.
To think of it, it's just because it's prohibited, you know. So if you look at the drug war from a purely economic point of view, the role of the government is just to, in fact, protect the drug cartel. That's literally true. And that's how they grow so big and so powerful at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, Ruchir, I think that's the theme which basically runs in the movie, in the background. Unlike, say, Urta Punjab, where the theme of, you know, drug cartels is in the foreground. That's basically what is being discussed. Here they have used it as a background to talk about something else. But nonetheless, it remains a very essential part of the movie. And what you were talking about, I find very, very eerie similarity to, say, the prohibition in the US. So there was a time when in the US also they prohibited, you know, liquor. And that was not a good time for the US.
Yes.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of empirical research to show that what it meant was that it just resulted in skyrocketing of the crime, and it basically gave way to gangsters, to people who were bootleggers, and people who ran cartel of illegal alcohol business. Talk Al Capone, talk anybody. I mean, there's way too many people, way too many criminals.
Yes, Akash, as you rightly mentioned. In fact, I believe that, you know, the problem of having any substance, say, be liquor or say drugs, having them illegal is actually something that paves the way for, you know, criminal organization, because it becomes like a major source of financing, not only for organized crime, but also for terrorism in a lot of cases. Mostly, a lot of the revenues or the financing that terrorists get is from drug trade.
So Ruchir, you know, I'm reminded of this very, very interesting, very beautiful concept in regulatory economics. And this concept is not known as much as it should be. I mean, I think it's something which is very underrated. But it's by this regulatory economist called Bruce Yandel. And the concept is called bootleggers and Baptists. So it says that, any such thing like prohibition, it makes such a coalition of very opposed groups, as opposed as bootleggers and Baptists and, say, evangelical Christians who are against alcohol consumption. It brings them together in a very funny way, because for the Baptists, it lowers the cost of favor seeking. If you look at it from a perspective of public choice economics also, it makes perfect sense. And we've talked about public choice economics in our earlier episodes on Panchayat, and we briefly, you know, gone through it in the episode on Confusion as well. So Yandel writes about this Baptists and bootleggers things, that such a coalition of Baptists and bootleggers makes it easier for politicians to favor both of these groups. The Baptists, in a way, lower the cost of favor seeking for the bootleggers, because politicians can pose always as being motivated purely by the public interest, even while they promote the interests of, you know, well-funded businesses. And Baptists, they take the moral high ground. The bootleggers persuade the politicians quietly behind closed doors, and then they smuggle alcohol in and make huge profits. And I think that's also something which is going on with the drug trade, especially when it comes to marijuana. What do you think, Richard?
Yes, Akash, I think you're right on that. Just hit in the right place with that question. So I think that, as you just mentioned, that most politicians and bureaucrats are, you know, because of the concept of public choice economics, they try to maintain the status quo and keep those goods illegal. But I also believe there are electoral, like strong electoral reasons for that in most countries. I mean, when we look at the statistics show that most countries across the world are, when we give them the option of having drugs made legal, they generally oppose it, and it becomes a major electoral issue, especially in more conservative countries like India. And that is a major issue. But if the government thinks about its deficit and its fiscal health, I think that's a policy move that should really be considered, you know, criminalizing drugs, at least certain drugs to begin with. What do you think, Akash?
Yeah, I think decriminalizing drugs or ending the drug war, as we can, say, is something which is very important. And for me, as somebody who is a classical liberal or a libertarian, it stems from a very different belief. The state should not really be intervening into what they voluntarily choose to do to themselves. And I think that's a very strong enough reason for the state not to be, banning drugs. But if we also look at it in a manner which is, say, pragmatic or like politically pragmatic, I feel that basically the drug war has cost way too many lives. It has cost a lot of already marginalized people being put into jails. So I think it's high time that we end such a drug war. And maybe we can start with decriminalizing marijuana in South Asia as well as in the US. Of course, it's a much bigger thing because there are way too many people in jails rotting for such a small crime like, you know, possessing marijuana.
Yes, you're right, Akash. Like, I understand your opinion that people have the right to do it, but there is a certain criticism which I would say is maybe kind of justified about the increased burden on the healthcare infrastructure that would come with, you know, increased drug overdoses, maybe increased drug addiction, and that would be add a lot of fiscal burden on the government, which could be one of the effects that the government really wants to avoid. And
sure.
So, but
so Richard, but basically the funny part is that I think there have been some instances where there has been a drug legalization. I'm not just talking about marijuana, but even hard drugs being legalized. And I think Portugal is one of such countries. So let's look at empirical data there. Is there an increased burden on the healthcare system? But to start with, are more people using drugs than, say, in the other countries in their proximity?
You've made actually a very fair point, Akash, and I was going to add to that. So Portugal is a really, really good example. So that is a country that legalized not only marijuana, but all kind of drugs back in 2001 itself, because of really rising drug use. And that's the policy they came up with. And unlike other countries where the drug use is especially high in marginalized communities, here it was prevalent across classes. And but of course, it was not totally legalized as such. I mean, there was a certain amount of drug of the substance you could carry, but it was still significant progress. And as you rightly point out, initially there was an increase in prevalence of drug use, but over time it has been observed that the percentage of prevalence of drug use among the population has decreased by a considerable amount. And this is actually really strong evidence for the governments to take a step towards decriminalizing use of drugs and even sales and distribution for that matter.
So here we not just have an ethical high ground, but also, you know, an economic high ground. And And basically,
and it is backed by evidence.
Yeah, it's backed by evidence.
It is backed by evidence.
Yes, the substance abuse has gone down, and at the same time, basically, even the economic costs of it have gone down. And the,
yes, that those are
true. And the fact that you know the crimes that are related, because that has been something where we came to the discussion on drugs, that crimes. Those crimes exist because it's a market which is illegal. So now, since it's legal and there are no drug cartels as such, of course, the violence relating to all that would go down very significantly in such countries.
So yeah, you rightly point out, not only will it destroy the illegal market for drugs, but it will also improve the health aspects, which a lot of people seem to be concerned about. So firstly, there are a lot of lots of deaths due to drug overdoses, and they are mainly because of drug adulteration and sometimes increased potency in the same dose. And a major reason behind this is that, I mean, even for alcohol, for example, I mean, alcohol adulteration is a crime, but it's very easy to track and to avoid, because at the end of the day, alcohol is something that is sold in the market and it's not an illegal product.
Okay, so I'll digress a bit. And basically, there has been a prohibition in Bihar for, say, last three, four, 5 years. After Nitish Kumar came to power the last time, he banned alcohol in the state. And what we have seen since then is that there has been an increase in the number of deaths due to people drinking, you know, liquor which is maybe not ethanol but methanol, and it's called Zehreeli Sharab in Hindi, and it's all happening because, you know, it's being done at an illegal level. It's
illegal,
done, you know, in a market which is it's not just about unregulated, but it's also about the whole illegal nature of the market.
Exactly. And there is no significant marginal, like, there's a disincentive for, you know, manufacturing it cheaply, and, you know, adulterating is really not there. And that's really true. And in almost every case we've documented, there's strong evidence to show that whenever there has been a banning of liquor, adulteration related deaths have significantly spiked up. And that also gets me to an important statement that I like to say and what I believe in. And it is that at the end of the day, I feel that like alcohol overdoses and deaths related to alcohol are generally known as medical issues, I think even that should be the same thing for drugs. Drug overdoses and drug adulteration, all these should be medical issues and not police issues. But when we banned drugs, for example, it becomes a police level issue. In fact, I mean, there's a lot of people who may say that alcohol adulteration becomes a police issue. Yes, it does. But in the case of drugs, drug adulteration is impossible to track because it's already, I think that the revenues that jail generate from tax and the amount of money they'll save from stopping the war on drugs, like, could be, if drugs are legalized, they could be, you know, diverted to increasing the health support and rehab infrastructure for drugs, because, and to, you know, provide support to the healthcare infrastructure in case the drug use does initially spike up. And I think that's a fair roadway to, you know, legalizing drugs.
Makes sense to me.
Guys, if I can add something regarding the drug war itself, is that I think one of the ways that subcontinent itself can actually tackle the drug war itself, because there is, like, you know, the drugs, the idea of drugs in our, in the world, in Asia especially, in Asian countries especially, because we've seen what's happening in Philippines and Singapore and Indonesia as well, there's always the don't ask, don't tell policies. So one of the ways of tackling of is these people from proper rehabilitating the people who are abused by drugs is to both educate itself. So countries can actually, you know, like, for example, one of the ways that countries like Brazil, as even I think Portugal, Iceland, the way they tackle the alcohol and drug problem is by properly, you know, educate, like, having it as part of the education policies. And also in prisons, exactly, you know, having them, having conversations with them, having more engagement. I think that's a part of public policy many countries miss out. You know, that engagement with the people who make drugs as well, because even medicines are also drugs as well, right? So that's an important point I feel like making.
Indeed. So, Israel, I feel that if you have drugs which are illegal, I think in a way you glamorize that drug, especially for a lot of youngsters.
Push it underground.
And you push it underground, definitely. And there is so much informational asymmetry about it that people don't know what effect it would have on their bodies. It's just something that, you know, they've heard from someone. And they want to try it. And I remember here, I remember something which my school teacher in the US, she told me about alcohol. She told me that she had been drinking since the age of 14 because she was in Italy. She was an Italian. And she drinks basically, say, two spoons of alcohol every day, and since she was 14, and she has never had an alcohol overdose or whatever, and she felt that all the whole reason behind all this in the US was because the legal age for alcohol was capped at 21, which is higher, and that is something which glamorized, you know, the whole alcohol thing. So but I still think that the age cap is something which is essential. If not 21, it should be 18 maybe.
So that is something that really is one, something that one needs to think about. Yes.
So Richard, it's funny, but let's end on this note maybe, that if drugs were legal and if there was not for this global war on drugs, maybe you would not have had an extraction to start with. So so basically, that Israel, that would be soothing for you, maybe, that such a horrible movie would not have come out if it was not for this war on drugs. And another thing is not just extraction, but the funny part is that there have been no masterpieces like Wired or like Narcos. There wouldn't have been a Pablo Escobar in real life to start with.
No Bollywood movies on Dawood Ibrahim.
Yeah, no Bollywood movies on Dawood Ibrahim. Exactly. And it's you know, to imagine such a world and to basically think about the fact that drug trade is what keeps these people going. And not just these people, but also international terrorist networks. Also, you know, Osama bin Laden, also Al-Qaeda was and Taliban do have a lot of funding from, you know, basically they get a lot of money from growing poppy and selling it across the world market. So just think about it, and you know, just this is I think a good thought experiment for people to do, to for our audience to do. Just maybe make a list of you know, the crimes that are just related to drugs. So on this note, maybe let's just end this. It has been very wonderful talking to you, Israel. Love this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.